and welcome to Common Room Conversations. My name is Chris White.
And I'm Brennan White.
And this is a special episode because everything we're going to talk about is coming to Disney Plus over the next year.
Yeah.
And it's actually the episode we are talking about the most topics.
Yeah, this is going to be a very, very...
Yeah, we've got eight topics to talk about today.
We do. So some topics we have a lot more to discuss about, and some we have very little to say about. I know a lot of what we have to talk about, I know that I will not be expressing my ideas about it nearly as much, because a lot of it is, you know, it's going to be interesting to see that Disney Plus is going to be going through with these projects, but I just, something that's not entirely, you know, doesn't really float my boat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we'll get more into it later in the
episode. There's a big mixture of projects here, and Disney is really using all of their brands and properties over the next year. You know, they're pulling stuff from Blue Skies Animation, which they purchased a few years ago. They're pulling stuff from Walt Disney Animation and from Pixar. Every property they have, they're kind of throwing into Disney. And all of these were announced on Disney Plus Day, which was November 12th.
Yep, I do like, too, that all these that were introduced on Disney Plus Day and all that we're going to be discussing in this episode, I love the diversity of...
There's so much diversity.
And, my diversity, I mean, I'm talking, I know you probably...
Well, there's a lot of diversity, yeah.
Well, what I'm talking about is the diversity of
different... Animation,
like that, yeah, because we got, you know, we got Intertwined, and we have that, and Sneakerella. We have both of those are live action. Then we go down, we got Baymax, and we have, we're going to talk about the Proud Family, Louder and Prouder. You know, those are two animated, but what's fascinating is that they're animated in different styles. You know, we have an animation with Baymax, and then we have the Proud Family, Louder and Prouder. We have more of a
cartoon. Same thing with Ice Age. Ice Age is more of like a CGI version.
Animation. And then, you know, we go right back into it with live action with the Kenobi series and Hawkeye.
Willow.
And Willow as well. We have all this variety of topics we're going to be talking about, and we can't wait to dive right into it with you guys this week.
Yeah, so let's hop right in.
Let's hop right in.
All right, so the very first topic we have to talk about is Intertwined, which came out on November 12th. So a few days ago it came out.
It did, yeah. And I've yet to see it. You know,
I haven't either.
Yeah, so I mean, this like I said, just a few minutes ago, this is a piece that, you know, I'm not really interested in taking a look at.
It kind of goes under a different name, and Intertwined is the English dub version of it. So this series was originally Spanish. It was filmed in Argentina.
Was it?
And this is the English dub. So I noticed in the trailer, which confused me before I knew it was a dub, I was like, one thing I do in trailers is I just watch their mouths. It's just a habit of mine. And they weren't lining up correctly.
Also, it's kind of like the sound editing was
And
a little
I was
off.
Like, what happened here? And then I realized it was a dub and I was like,
that makes sense.
That
can do it a lot.
I did want to pull up the summary of it just to kind of explain it a little bit, because it was a lot and a little confusing.
Yeah.
So basically, Allegra, who is the main character, dreams of being part of the 11 o'clock music theater company and becoming the star of Freaky Friday.
Interesting.
Which is a property of Disney's that they've used so many times. You know, you've got, I think, 3 or 4 versions of it prior of Freaky Friday.
Yeah, and it's also... Freaky Friday is just such a huge concept to be used in, to begin with, in many TV shows. You know, I know recently, and to go back with it, actually, I don't believe they directed that episode. But if we look back in Community, I believe in season four of Community, they do kind of a Freaky Friday episode with Donald Glover and Danny Pudi. They change places, I believe, because a lot of that show was, you know, we see our very famous Marvel directors, Anthony and Joe Russo, the famed Fandom brothers who directed many pieces for Disney and Marvel. And, you know, they directed a bunch of episodes there. But it's interesting to see, like, you know, a project they worked on also use the concept of an episode of Freaky Friday, which it's such a premise that, you know, like, oh, they can do one story with it and then they can make it a different story. You know what I mean? They get the same concept, but just like a different storytelling.
So this takes on the Freaky Friday concept. So the Allegra dreams of being part of the 11 o'clock theater's show of Freaky Friday,
yep.
which many years before her grandmother was a part of, and she played the main role in that same play.
Interesting.
So her grandmother's name is Coco, and she's a living legend in the world of musical comedy and has a complicated relationship with her daughter, Katerina, which is Allegra's mother.
Okay.
Allegra's life is completely altered when she finds a mysterious bracelet in her home that sends her back to 1994. The year Katerina was her age and took her first steps in 11 o'clock while living in the shadow of Coco, a star at the peak of his career. That's probably supposed to be her career.
Yeah, that seems like a little typo there.
By learning about her mother and grandmother's past, Allegra will not only help heal the wounds and bring the family together, but she will also discover that while the past cannot be changed, there is a lot to learn from it.
So I don't know if I just misheard you with that. Is she gonna teleport back to 1994?
Yes.
Is she gonna be in the body of her mother, or is she just gonna be kind of like, you know, on the sidelines, like witnessing?
I think she's witnessing it from what I understood from the trailer.
Which is an interesting approach to the Freaky Friday concept. But I think we were gonna trademark that Freaky Friday concept. There we go, trademark.
Freaky Friday concept. Yep.
So the FFC, if you would.
Yep.
but. That's an interesting take on it, because honestly, when I watched the trailer, I did pick up on that a little bit, but I was still a little confused on it.
It was very confusing. That's why I had to bring up the summary.
What I was intrigued about it was like, okay, yeah, we talked about the Freaky Friday concept, but it's very interesting that they're not going with the path of, because to me, her being teleported back to 1994 and then living in the shoes of her mother, as like, you know, the star of Freaky Friday, being like walking the stage of the play, I feel like that'd be more connected to like the Freaky Friday concept, because you know how they stretch bodies, and they're like different bodies. But it's gonna be interesting to see her kind of have, you know, like the outsider's like view of what actually happened, mm-hmm. instead of just saying, like, hearing her mother's side of the story, hearing her grandmother's side of the story. Now she gets to actually witness it for herself, which is gonna be a very interesting thing to watch. I gotta tell you though, I might not watch it.
I'm gonna be honest, I might not either, just because of the dubbing. If it was originally performed in English, I might watch it. But I was so thrown off just by the, you know, minute or two that the trailer was, that I was so distracted by the dubbing. And not all the characters, their voices didn't really seem like they matched the actor.
Yeah, that's it.
And I was like, oh.
That's going to be a little bit of a turnoff for that.
Yeah, there was one guy in the trailer, and his voice just did not sound like it should have.
Did it just piss you off?
It did.
Oh, it just rustled your jimmies a little bit. Oh, yeah.
But there's 10 episodes of this. It's going to be interesting. Very, very interesting. Because when I first saw this announced, it went under the Spanish name of it.
Did it?
And I was like, oh, I'm not going to watch that, because I can't watch foreign language films. I can't do subtitles.
Being a film buff, you know, I watch here and there, I watch some, you know, foreign films, but I don't know, it's just something about this, it didn't interest me. I had a class last semester of class of school, I had a class where I had to watch a bunch of foreign films. I watched a black and white film in French, came on the 60s, and I was like, oh, it was pretty cool, I actually like this. And I don't know, watching the trailer, I was just blatantly confused, and it was very
confusing at times. That,
but you know, if we don't watch it, you guys, you know, feel free to give us your feedback on it. If anyone who views this episode, you know, watches it, just let us know how it is.
Maybe tell us out right now.
Yeah, so. It is out. And is it a weekly episode thing, or do they release all 10? Do we know?
I don't recall.
All right, well, if it's a weekly thing, catch up on it weekly. If you're interested in taking part and watching it, and you know, let us know. Give us your feedback. Yeah. Tell us what you thought. And
Tweet us.
Tweet us. maybe we'll give a shot to watch it.
So our next project to talk about is Baymax. Comes out in 2022. We haven't gotten a date. Quite a bit of what we're talking about today, we haven't gotten dates for. It just is 2022.
Yeah, but I feel like I don't know, just like, you know, hunch with Baymax, I feel as though maybe this will come earlier in 2022. If I had to guess, maybe like within the March to May category. Only because within the trailer, we did see, you know, a decent amount. Because like, with projects like this, it does take a lot to animate, because it's, you know, the different format of animation. Mm-hmm. So it does take a lot to animate, but it looked like they had a decent chunk of it done. So, like, you know, give us a little teaser clip, and then maybe around January we'll get like a full trailer, and then a release date of from anywhere between March or May. If I had to guess, maybe even June.
I don't know. A lot of what we're talking about kind of gets released early in the year, so I don't know if we're gonna have some overlapping series and stuff, but we'll definitely see. But this is Walt Disney Animation Studios' very first TV series.
Yes, and what I'm actually interested with too is that you know, the Big Hero 6 is where Baymax is from, and but not
one of
only
my favorite characters.
But I don't know if you knew this. Did you know that legally and technically speaking, even outside of Disney, that Baymax is a Marvel owned. As Marvel owned,
yeah,
he's a Marvel owned hero.
Wasn't he a comic?
He ran a comic strip. I believe in the 90s. He had his own comic book story arc. And if you actually go back and watch Big Hero 6, you actually see a Stan Lee cameo within the movie.
I love a Stan Lee cameo.
I
miss a Stan Lee.
You know what?
Rest
in peace, because you know just earlier this week, I believe it was the anniversary of his death. 3 years.
It was a couple of days ago.
Very, very tragic. But you know, I had never seen the full movie of Big Hero 6.
So good.
I've heard nothing but great things about it. And I always say, you know, okay, I'll watch it. I'm going to go and watch it. And I always just put it off. But, you know, it's definitely something I'm going to have to definitely check out. And
we're going to have to watch it when we're at Disney.
We're going to have to. Yeah, we're going to have to.
So one of the parts that I wanted to talk about was there was this scene where Baymax is kind of in charge of helping this older woman. Right. And she's like standing outside and he's like, hi, I'm Baymax, your personal healthcare assistant. And she goes, huh, Borax? And then he like clicks his like little chest and it like shows that the audio is going up. And then he talks louder so that she can hear him. And then after that, she's like struggling to get up the stairs. So he goes, I am using my super high-tech systems to find the nearest healthcare facility, or not, exercise facility. And he's, like, turning in a circle, and there's a community pool right next to her house. So he's like, oh, found it, just as he's turning around.
Yeah, it's going to be funny to see, like, kind of like, you know, the, you know, because he's a machine, so he always learns, and he's almost similar to an artificial intelligence thing. So it's kind of funny when you see, especially in kids' movies such as this, it's going to be, like, a very interesting and funny topic to see that, you know, artificial intelligence, he's learning, and he doesn't have that filter. And because, you know, she can't get up the stairs. So he's like, oh, looks like you need to work out. And I'll find this for you. And you know, he adjusts. He learns, but it just adds that comedic undertone to this film. And I do love the comedic undertone. And it reminded me, actually, of Zootopia, is the part in the cafe. When he's serving the coffee, it reminded me of some Zootopia.
That scene where he's like just clicking it and it just keeps popping open.
Yeah, with the sloth from Zootopia.
Flash.
Yep, Flash. Yep. Flash, the irony.
Which is another thing coming soon to get off topic. Zootopia Plus is a new coming Disney series as well. We don't
I
have too much
that.
Info
we don't
on
have
it.
Pretty much anything on it. Really.
That'll be something super excited to see. But yeah, the cafe kind of. That scene, Aunt Cass runs the cafe.
Yep.
And she ends up slipping on coffee or something. So he takes over to run it. And we haven't had an announcement as to who voices Aunt Cass. We haven't really had too many voice announcements for this. But
wasn't she voiced by Maya Rudolph?
She was voiced by
right?
Maya Rudolph in several different Big Hero 6 projects.
Love Maya Rudolph.
So I'm assuming it's going to be voiced by Maya Rudolph. Like, I tried to go back and, like, listen and really see if I
could. Yeah, try to, like, match
but
it.
But it's such a small voice clip that it was difficult.
I don't know. If you go back to a lot of the, like, most famous clips of Maya Rudolph, you know, you can get some back from her SNL days, like, all the different voices she did. You can probably maybe
distinct. Well, I had originally, when I heard it, I was like, is that Kim Rhodes? Because she sounded like Kim Rhodes when she slipped. And I was like, ooh, is that Kim Rhodes? And I was like so confused. And I was like hyped. I was like, are we going to get a Kim Rhodes in a Disney project again? Are we going to get Kim Rhodes in another Disney project? I was
maybe,
so hyped.
Maybe-ish.
But I don't know. This is created by Don Hall. He has 6 director credits, including Raya The Last Dragon, which is one of the newer Disney projects.
Yeah, I heard it did really well. I haven't gotten a chance to see that.
Yeah, but I haven't either, I heard to be honest.
Did well on the stream on Disney Plus.
Moana.
Moana, great movie.
Big Hero 6, of course.
Yep.
And Winnie the Pooh. The one back in 2007? I think it was 2007.
So, the cartoon, not the cartoon, live action. Yes. We just had the...
I don't think the live action was done by Disney.
It had to be. It's Winnie the Pooh. I know that had had a pretty big Disney star that's coming up in our later conversation.
Robin. It was called Christopher Robin. Pooh. That's why I think it's not Disney.
But it has we do have a big star in it who is starring in a major project we're going to be talking about later on. Mr. Ewan McGregor was in that movie as well, and he's Christopher Robin.
Another thing to talk about, he may have only had 6 director credits, but Don Hall was the one of the writers of Tarzan. He also was one of the writers of Meet the Robinsons.
I do recall Meet the Robinsons. I love Meet the Robinsons. Probably actually one of my, hit home. Hit me in the feels with that movie. It was very...
Love Meet the Robinsons.
Very great movie. I love Tarzan, too. Tarzan's probably absolutely one of my favorite Disney movies as a child. I loved all of it. Even, the sequels that kind of, went off topic. Yeah. They had, a sequel prequel. It was... But I do enjoy Tarzan a lot.
I love a good direct-to-VHS... movie.
Just pop that right in.
Just Lion VHS King 1.5. Perfect. When you do just these off, weird stories. There was one joke once upon a time, I think it was from Family Guy, and they were like, oh, this is Aladdin 7, Jafar needs glasses. That is so good. Something they would totally do.
Too. Yeah, exactly. All right, the next topic of conversation we have today is The Proud Family, Louder and Prouder, which is coming to Disney Plus on February 2022.
Yeah, super soon.
And I'm actually very excited for this project, actually, because I do find it fascinating, the animation style I went to, because, we had the first
The original.
Yeah, sorry, I spaced
out. The Proud Family.
We had that. I mean, it's... different animation style, and plus it's a different animation style from what we just previously talked about.
It's not too much of a different animation style.
Well, it's a little more updated, I feel. Yeah. I feel it's still got that same undertone to it, but it
still has the feel to it, that of the hominess.
It's like how we talked about in the beginning with the diversity of our topic of the animation, because it's different from Baymax, and it's certainly not a live
action. It's a lot more 2D, which is how animation was back in the day.
Yeah, more cartoon.
But it is a little bit more updated than before.
Yeah. I'm actually very excited to see that it's more aimed not towards for kids.
Yeah. And it definitely has adult feels to it.
It has adult feels to it. It has a slapstick humor about it.
Yeah. It's great. It's also Disney Plus's largest series.
It is, yeah.
22 episodes.
When I saw that, I was like, holy shit, I don't think we've had a Disney Plus original series.
I had to take a double take when I saw 22 episodes. I counted each episode myself because I didn't trust that it was 22 is so big.
What Disney projects, Disney Plus projects are out now that are streaming that have
I think more Max than... is 12.
Really? Because I know I know from Marvel doesn't even do that much. I know the largest amount of episodes from Marvel was 9, and that was with WandaVision.
They're always very small, 10 or under.
Well, here's the thing. I might have missed it. Do we have the run times of each episode? Because I know with the smaller series, we have they're an hour episode.
This could probably be
30-minute episodes.
30 minutes. I think the original was 30 minutes an episode. And it's probably going to get released weekly.
Yeah. So, if you include that too, if you just kind of dumb it down, it'd be okay, so.
Probably a whole season normally on regular television.
Yeah. If it was an hour episodes, it'd be 11 episodes. But it's going to be 30-minute increments, then it'll be 22 episodes.
The plot is unknown at this time, but it is a continuation of the Proud Family. So it's further on in the future when they're kind of growing up a little bit.
Yeah, so it definitely adds some premise. You have to know the background of the Proud Family. Yep. And it's just going to be, like you said, a continuation, a sequel series. And I feel as though maybe a lot of these episodes could not be, story-based around, they won't continue off of each episode.
Yeah, so singular, self-contained episodes.
Yeah, kind of how we have other cartoons shows
Phineas and Ferb, self-contained,
Family Guy, American Dad, all those shows like that.
So one of the first things in the trailer, it's very soon on, is what I'm going to refer to as the sex scene.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. You know, we don't see anything. In Disney fashion, it's a allude.
Innuendo.
You know, we walk in and Penny is walking in on her parents on the couch. And they're like sitting apart, but all of their hair, and they just look so roughed up. And then she goes, what is happening here? And then they go into like a ball of dust and then they look perfect again. Like they had just finished like a steamy sesh on the couch.
Wow.
And she walked in and they were like a mess.
I don't know how I feel about you just calling it that. That made me shiver.
I'm just speaking facts.
That made me shiver. And I am uncomfortable.
And then we got Buff Sugar Mama. Yeah, I loved me a good Buff Sugar Mama. That was great.
Oh, God. I do like that. You know, we talked about it being continuation. I enjoy that. Correct me if I'm wrong. The same people from the original program. Yes. You know, they went on and created the sequel.
And they said in an interview that they felt like this story never ended. And it needed to keep going. And they are definitely getting that. And 22 episodes of continuation.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we haven't seen anything yet. But do you feel as though maybe we'll get a second season?
Think so. You know, here's what I will say about this is that it's such a diverse project. You know, when it was originally released, it was very diverse and needed as representation. And I'm so glad that it's coming back to provide further representation. So it's very diversity is important in media, and it doesn't get enough of it sometimes.
I fully agree with you. And it's gonna be good to see the show. One casting choice I was very excited for is Leslie Odom Jr. I did see Leslie Odom Jr.
Yeah, we're getting a huge list of celebrity appearances.
I love Leslie Odom Jr. I loved him in Hamilton, and he's done so many other projects. You know, working like musically, he has such a great voice, and he's done, you know, a couple commercials. He had a stellar song for Wait For It is probably by far one of my favorite songs from a musical ever. I love that song. I still listen to it to this day. Yeah. I listen to it here and there in my car, and I hope that maybe even, you know, in one of these episodes we'll get to hear a little bit of Leslie Odom Jr. sing.
It's got some singers.
I know.
Some singers.
I'm not thrilled about the other singers. Lizzo and Lil Nas, I'm not the biggest fans of.
I love them. They're great, though. Not everyone's cup of tea, but they're fantastic.
I'm not a big fan of them.
But we have some celebrity guests appearing as recurring roles, including Kiki Palmer, who gets to play Maya Lebowski Jenkins. Then we get Billy Porter as Randall Lebowski Jenkins. We're getting the whole Lebowski Jenkins family.
Interesting.
We're getting Zachary Quinto as Barry Lebowski Jenkins. We'll get E.J. Johnson as Michael Collins. Leslie Odom Jr., Tiffany Haddish, Lena Wyeth, Anthony Anderson, Gabrielle Union, Debbie Allen, Lizzo, and Lil Nas X are all going to be guest stars on that show. So there's a bunch. And there's more than that. That's not the full list. They announced like 20 or something names that are going to be guests, which I was so confused about when they first announced it. I was like, how are they going to fit this many guests in this series? But it makes sense that it's 22 episodes, how they can fit so many guests.
Yeah, so, as this obviously gets closer to the release date of the series, we'll definitely see more guest stars in that. It's one of those shows, you know, I love to see such a show like this have so many guest stars. A show, personal favorite of mine, you know, not really nerdy, but it has something to do with pop culture. You know, we have the show called Dave, all completely written, directed by Dave Bird, aka Lil Dicky. He's a rapper, and the guest stars on his show. It came out the second season previously this year. His guest stars are unbelievable. You know,
I love a good guest star.
The first season we had so many. We had so many rappers. You know, we had Trippie Redd, and we had I'm spacing out on some of the other guest appearances. Oh, we had Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber was in the first season. And we have a reoccurring guest star, Benny Blanco. And then, you know, the second season, you had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You had Doja Cat. You know, Benny Blanco again. You had Hailey Baldwin, a.k.a. Hailey Bieber. And I believe...
Get it right. Hailey Bieber.
Yeah, Hailey Bieber, my bad, guys.
Thank you.
And you had a couple of Kardashians that have been on the show. It baffles me to see all these artists and, you know, all these famous people wanting to work with him. And I feel as though, you know, it's the same with this. You know, it's such a such a great show, and now it's being brought back for a sequel.
It's so much history for people and fond memories. That is why people kind of want to be a part of
exactly
the recreation. They want to be in that world. You know, I would love to be in a Star Wars movie. Grew up on Star Wars, right?
You did.
When you grew up on something, you kind of want to be a part of that.
Yeah, you do. And you know what? It'd be cool to be in a Star Wars movie. You're more Star Wars centric, but for me, Lord of the Rings. And you know, I'm pretty sure you know
you look like a hobbit.
Oh, you fuck you. Okay, you look like a fucking goblin.
I am a loth cat. Get it right.
No, you're a fucking cave troll.
I'm the Rancor. Okay.
We're getting off topic. We'll have those discussions, you know, when more Star Wars series comes out, and you know, when the Lord of the Rings series comes out.
Okay, Amazon Prime. We'll have more conversations in about a half an hour with some more Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna be arguing about Lord of the Rings, y'all, because I'm very excited for next year.
Sneakerella, February 18th, pretty soon.
Very soon,
interesting.
I don't know, Chris. For one, am not interested in seeing this.
You know,
at all.
I don't know if I will either. I like the concept of, you know, focusing on the sneaker world, but I hate that it's a Cinderella concept.
Yeah, you know, I do as well. I was never a big fan of Cinderella. You know, not one of my least favorite Disney princesses. And I feel as though we had, you know, because we just had the new Cinderella movie with Camila Cabello. Well,
that wasn't even Disney.
I mean, but it had the Disney premise because it was literally Cinderella.
I mean, Cinderella is not a Disney princess. Cinderella was used by Disney. It was a previous character before Disney.
You're right, but I thought Disney did have the rights to Cinderella. Did they not?
I think it's a like open use
character. Okay.
But I really wish they had just done it based around the sneaker culture. It's based around New York sneaker culture. Yep. And I just wish they had dropped the Cinderella part of it, because they could have done a cool story. And not just kind of pulled in another aspect that they've done before.
I feel like that's...
Just like Freaky Friday. I wish they... You know what I mean? They're pulling in these other things that don't need to be there.
Yeah, but I feel as though like that they had to use the concept of the Cinderella concept for the part to really... As a catch-all. You know, to try and reel people in to actually watch it. Because, I mean, the concept is pretty cool with the sneaker underworld and culture. Because, you know, we've seen the trailer. We see all the different designs that...
Chosen Jacobs did it like on the subway too.
Yeah, he put paint on his hands. He did it's called the splatter effect. You know, you can do it with paintbrushes. You take the paintbrush, dip it in paint, and you just take your fingers, you just rub it across your finger, and it just splatters everywhere. He kind of did it with his hands. He dipped his fingers and he splattered on the sneaker. You know, left his handprint. That was really cool to see.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a very artistic movie. Just because the Cinderella aspect of it doesn't really appeal to my taste it's of frustrating. The movies. Yeah.
But it stars Chosen Jacob from It.
Yep, he's a great actor.
And then it stars Lexi Underwood, who just recently starred in Just Beyond, which is a Disney Plus original.
I haven't been able to catch that yet.
I believe it was like a Goosebumps-esque show.
Oh, yes. I actually did see the trailer. I was very interested in seeing that. I think I actually put that on my Disney Plus watch list.
And then it also stars Colton Stewart, who is going to be starring in the upcoming Disenchanted, which is currently in post-production.
Yes, in post-production.
That's a Disney Plus original as well, based on Enchanted.
It's a sequel to Enchanted, yep.
Colton Stewart,
why does that name sound very familiar to me?
He was in some Assembly Required a few years ago.
Oh, I have no idea.
I enjoyed that series myself.
I have no idea.
But it's very interesting to see how Disney is kind of going to their old ways. Where back in the day, they would take one actor and just put them in everything. And that's what I feel like they're doing here with Lexi Underwood and Colton Stewart. Just multiple Disney Plus projects. I don't want that to happen. They did that also with... I'm going to blank her name. But she is from High School Musical, the musical, the series. She played Courtney. And they recently just had her be the host of a baking show on Disney+.
I don't know. I did not... watch the High School Musical Disney Plus series.
Oh, so good. It's so good.
I heard good things about it. You know, the only person I really know from that is Olivia Rodrigo, and I absolutely love Olivia Rodrigo. So
yeah. She's fantastic. Her and Joshua Bassett are fantastic in that.
Mention Joshua Bassett to me right now, Christopher.
But this is directed by Elizabeth Allen Rosenbaum.
Rosenbaum.
She's got 32 director credits. Ramona and Beezus is probably the only movie, I believe. And then she did 3 episodes of 90210. She did 1 episode of Hawaii Five-O, 1 episode of Why Women Kill, 2 episodes of Dead to Me. She doesn't have too much credits. You know, she's got 32 projects, but a lot of them are one episode.
She has a lot of credits. She doesn't have a lot of movie credits.
Long-running credits either, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but it seems that a lot of her, you know, director credits are really TV series, television-centric. Yes. Yeah,
So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes.
Yeah, you know, I haven't really seen a Disney Plus series or a movie that has gone, you know, has flopped.
Yeah, I haven't seen a bad Disney Plus series.
So, I mean, I have faith in the movie to do well, but, you know, it's a toss-up because it's such a recycled and repetitive story told, and it's centered around something completely different.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do different to make it unique.
Yes, and I probably will watch it only because of that aspect. You know, I'll probably only give it one watch, you know, give it my consensus about it. You know, I'm more excited to see the sneaker part of it than really the sneak part rather than the Arella part. But
also horrible name.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's not the best name that they could have chosen.
I mean, you can't really name it anything else.
I mean, you could have went with the Cinderella concept but not included Arella in the name.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be, and again, it's going to be interesting to see. We'll just have to see when it comes out. Comes out in February.
Yeah, pretty soon. We'll see. Movie number 6 in one of the most interesting franchises out there, Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild, is coming on January 28th. Very, very soon.
It is very soon, Chris. And I got to say, you know, one thing, you know, this could go either way. Like we talked about with Sneakerella, because what is this, number 5?
6.
Ice Age? Is it number?
It's the 6th.
What was the 5th one?
Don't ask me. I'm just going off of what IMDb told me.
I don't believe that. Because we had Ice Age 1. We had Ice Age 2, the Meltdown. We had Ice Age 3, Dawn of the Dinosaurs.
We had Continental Drift.
We had Continental Drift.
And one that recently just came out that I don't know the name of.
Maybe that could have been maybe like a more of a short. But anyway, you know.
No, it was like a full in theaters movie. I don't remember what it was.
I don't recall. Well, I don't know. But, you know, okay, 5th or 6th. Either way, this is an interesting piece with the Ice Age title because it doesn't focus around, you know, our original group of ragtag group.
Which I kind of like. I really enjoy that they're kind of introducing different characters as the main. You know, I like to get to know more about each character differently. Because I feel like we just have gotten the group together in so many different movies that seeing, you know, different animals, I guess I'm going to call them animals, step in and be the main point is really interesting to see, and it's a risk to see.
It is a huge risk, especially because one thing...
And we'll see if it pays off.
One thing I will say with this is that, you know, rethinking back to watching the trailer, will this be a sequel to Continental Drift? Because I do believe that's the last one to happen. That was more of a sequel. Or will it be a prequel? Because I mean, hear me out with this one, because Buck was never in Continental Drift.
Well, I know the answer. It's in my notes.
It is in your notes. What
is
the answer?
This film takes place after Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs.
Okay, and before Continental Drift, I have to guess.
I would assume, yes.
Only because, you know, we don't see the female lion. We don't see Jennifer Lopez's... Like, I can't remember her character's name in the book. Jennifer Lopez played the female lion that was the saber-toothed tiger that was, you know, had a romantic connection intertwining with Diego.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see her. And we don't see Grams.
We don't see many of the main crew because I think we're just. Well, no,
I'm
not saying
the main crew. I'm saying that about the characters from the fourth, from Continental Drift. That makes me, and you just answered the question. Does take place after Dawn of the Dinosaurs?
Yep.
So I'm guessing it does take place before Continental Drift because you know we don't see a grown up Peaches. And right, yeah, Peaches. Yep, because Peaches was the name of Manny and Ellie's daughter.
I think so.
Yep, and we don't see the other Mammoths, and we don't see, you know, we don't see Sid's grandma, we don't see the female Sabretooth Tiger, and they were all, you know, part of the good guys at the end of Continental Drift. And because we don't see Buck in Continental Drift either. And so, you know, this could be like, oh.
I think Buck has been in a previous movie, though. I don't know which one.
That could have been another prequel movie, though, maybe. But one thing it upsets me, but, you know, it kind of saves it because they do bring Simon Pegg back to voice Buck.
Yep. Which I'm very excited. I believe he's the only returning
That's what upsets me. Because listening to the trailer, I was like, that is not Ray Romano.
But he's also, I don't think they're... That group is going to be in the movie much at all.
I know, but even that, you know, because, like, I see an Ice Age movie because, you know, they never did any recast. You know, we had Josh Peck and Sean William Scott as the Possums. We had Ray Romano. We had Queen Latifah.
I really feel like this is being made as cheap as possible because of how little we see the main group and they're introducing all new characters in the movie. I think it's being made as cheaply as they can do it. And, you know, that's kind of what you see about them kind of recasting everyone. Is that they don't want to pay them their high royalties because when you've been in a movie franchise for 6 movies, you are then entitled to like
exactly their contract
so
numbers
much
can go
more money.
Up.
Like just that like 5 minutes they might be in the movie, they might have to get paid $1 million.
Millions. Yeah.
So they're
it is a very costly project, especially with such a, you know, ongoing franchise such as Ice Age. You know, 2001, first Ice Age. Slam dunk. You know, second Ice Age movie, another slam dunk. I loved all the Ice Age project. You know, you and I growing up in the, you know, you were born 99, I was born 2001. Mm-hmm. You know, we grew up on this. You know, this is our childhood and being blossomed well into our 20s.
Yeah.
Which is, especially then it's, like you said, 6 movie franchise, up, is that price in that contract, and they're just not going to want to pay it.
That's why they're bringing
in other people. It does hurt, you know, because I grew up on these people, you know, mm-hmm. all these famous actors, you know, voicing these people, and I'm even that little bit they're going to be, I know I'm going to be a petty little asshole, I'm going to sit there and be like, no, you're not Ray Romano,
Manny. That was like when you saw the trailer for Hotel Transylvania, when they recast Adam Sandler for Brian Hull.
You weren't happy about that. Well, no, I was okay with it, but I would have been happier knowing, for years,
Brian Hull has been doing
the
that
voices
voice
for the trailers,
and you haven't known.
I know that I would have been happier knowing, you son of a bitch.
But the summary of this is
the fearless one-eyed weasel Buck teams up. You didn't even put the with. Teams up with mischievous possum.
I copied and pasted this. It's not my fault.
One-Eyed Weasel Buck teams up with mischievous possums, brothers Crash and Eddie, as they head off on a new adventure into Buck's home, the realm of the dinosaurs.
Actually, it says the dinosaur
well,
world.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I wanted to have it give it a little more twinkle to it. You know,
but
a little
it, that
more
might
twinkle
be
to
its
the...
official name, the dinosaur world.
Sorry, the dinosaur world. There we go. No. There we go. Trademarked. Dinosaur world. Okay.
I think the animation is fantastic. It was very much CGI, and I love CGI-type animation.
I feel it was a little too cartoony, in my opinion. I feel as though we in the past saw more... In my opinion, I think the animation from... Ice Age Meltdown. I feel as though that animation is probably my favorite.
There was some...
And it seemed more real and authentic in that one than compared to,
what we saw
in the trailer.
There were some parts in the trailer that looked super real. Like, the close-ups of the characters looked so fantastic.
Those did, but I feel as though they may have...
it became smaller, it did look more cartoony.
I feel as though that they maybe, like, you know, focused their animating budget on that. And maybe, you know, worry about the texture of the background not nearly as much as we have them close-ups.
Because the scene where the spider is chasing the possums... did seem very cartoony.
Yeah, and the part where it shows, like, you know, like, it says, oh, they crash right down back to the dinosaur world, mm-hmm. and it shows, like, the wide open, like, the grassy, like, the forests of the dinosaur world, and you see the pterodactyls flying. That looked very, very cartoony. And I was just like, oh, wow, okay. But then I did see, you know, we did see Crash and Eddie, and I was like, oh, wow, that's, you know, very, very detailed to the back of the detail again. Maybe it was just only that one part, but then we saw... you know, more cartoony parts, and I was like, ah, okay.
What I did like about the setting is that it was very lush. There was a lot of greenery. I feel like that's not something we really get in these movies. it just tends to be deserted and frozen over. And to see lush trees and, you know, dirt really is a different setting than we've had in the past.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we had a little bit of that setting in the Meltdown because we had it more towards the end. You know, well, like all the ice caps are melting.
Not like a whole movie kind of based around it.
Well, no, Dawn of the Dinosaurs. We did have the dinosaurs. They were in the dinosaur world there, and we had all that.
I don't know if I saw Dawn of the Dinosaurs, to be honest.
Are you fucking kidding me? How did you not see that? That brought Buck!
Yeah, because I don't think I know. Oh, maybe I did, because I do remember that character.
Okay, you know what? Fuck you. You need to watch it again.
I know.
one question I actually do have, though. I may have missed in the trailer. Mm-hmm. We're getting Scratch back.
I don't know. Well, so the director does have history with Scratch. So we'll see.
I hope that.
Because
you know
he's
that.
Done some Scratch-related shorts that he's been a part of directing.
I did thoroughly enjoy those. That's like one of my favorite parts of the movies. You know, we got the little in between. You know, what I loved about it too was a lot of the time, everything that Scratch was up to was, you know, happening in the background. You know, they'd move off camera and then the camera would stay in one spot and then we'd see Scratch come over and then some fucking shit would happen with his acorn. Yep. And it was a hoot to see. I hope we got like a little bit of that.
His scenes were always pretty nuts.
I'm leaving. I fucking hate you. No, we're done.
So this is Disney Plus's first animated film based on a Blue Sky Studios franchise.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yep.
So I'm excited. Like I mentioned earlier in the episode, I'm really excited to see Disney use all of their, you know, brands in Disney Plus and not just Disney properties like Marvel, Star Wars. Blue Sky Studios. I'm so excited to see the diversity in that.
Yeah, it will be an interesting movie. And, you know, I'm going to see it. You know, the only aspect, you know, it's always going to stick with me. The only aspect of really why I wouldn't be interested is because, you know, the change in cast. And yeah. I understand why it had to be a change in cast. But, you know, I still will be interested in seeing it and have my questions answered about it, whether or not it's going to be, you know, faithful. And you know, I'm a huge, you know, movie buff. And continuity is a key to me in movies. I hate that I notice it, but I always notice, I'll overthink about it, to be quite mm-hmm. frank. I'll notice if there's a continuity error. And, you know, I really hope that, you know, this is obviously going to be after Dawn of the Dinosaurs, because we first meet Buck and Dawn of the Dinosaurs. But I do hope that, you know, it's faithful to that too, because Buck was never in Continental Drift. So I do hope that it does take place before Continental Drift and they don't mess that up.
Mm-hmm. So this is the score of the project is going to be done by Batu Sunir, who has worked with John Powell as a music producer on projects like Pan, Jason Bourne, Ferdinand, Solo, which is a Star Wars story, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, and The Call of the Wild.
Yeah, and a lot of these projects had an unbelievable score to them. You know, yeah. they made you really like feel good about watching the movie.
So he worked with John Powell on those projects. He is actually going to be the main person on this. This will be his first project that he is main composer on. So it is so exciting to see how he does there. You know, he's got the, you know, he's worked on projects of giant proportion.
Yep.
So it's going to be exciting to see how he does breaking out on his own.
It's going to be very interesting to see, yeah.
This project is directed by John Donkin.
John C. Donkin.
John C. Donkin. And this is his only thing that he has directed. The only director credit he has is this.
But he does have some producer credits,
doesn't
he?
Yes, he has worked for Blue Sky Studios for a long time. He produced Rio 2. He also has his Ice Age, history. He produced the first Ice Age. He produced Dawn of the Dinosaurs. And he also produced Continental Drift. And one of my favorite movies of all time, he produced Robots.
Well, where's the producer credit for the second? I said, you, was he sick that day? He didn't
want to. I guess so. It wasn't on his profile.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Because it's more than half of the franchise there. I mean, that's so weird. He's like, all right, we'll do the first one. Yes. I don't want to do the second one. Okay, I'll do the third and fourth.
Like I mentioned, this is his only director.
Yep.
So to see Disney let him direct something after being, you know, kind of in the background, he did more than just producing projects for Blue Skies. To have him be a director is kind of them being like, your hard work paid off.
Exactly.
I want to see you do this. But he is also directing it with one other person, who is Marshall Fells Elliott, who also just has this, but he also has one short on his director called After Hours, which is a horror comedy.
That's those are two words you don't really hear often with no. A synopsis of anything.
Yeah. I would love to see Ice Age the horror comedy.
You know, I would actually be quite scared.
Yeah.
Not because
I don't like horror.
Yeah, not because,
but I would watch Ice Age. Well, not because of a horror
aspect. I'd be scared because I'm like, holy fuck, why would they do this?
You know what? Ice Age horror comedy would kind of be like the like that movie years ago. I think it was called something March of the Penguins, where the penguins are just watching what? And then the whales the seals just pop up and eat the fucking penguins.
What is the matter with you?
That would be it. That scarred me as a child.
I bet it did.
It was horrifying.
Yeah, I can tell you, sick bastard.
Ice Age, the horror comedy.
And we're back, and our next topic of conversation is Willow.
Hello.
Coming out in 2022. We do not have a month with a release date yet, but I'm sure is, nope. You know, that we don't even have a trailer yet, but I'm certain with maybe even December, maybe early January, we'll probably get a trailer for it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a little teaser. And I'm very excited for this. It's been quite a while since I've seen the original Willow that came out. And
I've never seen it.
You haven't?
I have not.
Interesting.
I will have to go and see it.
It's a very, in my opinion, very underrated movie.
You know, I love Warwick Davis.
I love Warwick Davis. I believe the movie, though, is a little bit ahead of its time because it's such a...
It's Warwick. He made it very clear in this new video.
It's Warwick.
That is Warwick. Drop Warwick. The second W.
Warwick. Warwick. Warwick Davis. Warwick Davis. Okay, but, fuck. Okay,
yeah. Right? Because there's a W. It makes you think, yeah. It's Warwick. It's Warwick.
Warwick.
He made it more very silent. Clear, yeah.
But no, you know, it's you know, the original film came out in 1988, and I do believe it was ahead of its time. I mean, you had a film, you know, it was written by George Lucas.
Yeah.
And it was directed by Ron Howard, and it was one of Ron Howard's first projects, I believe. And, you know, you have a great director like Ron Howard and a great writer like George Lucas. And I feel as though when it came out, it wasn't as big as, you know, people anticipated it. Well, as Ron Howard and George Lucas anticipated it being. Because, you know, George Lucas, he had Star Wars. Massive mm-hmm. hit with the Star Wars movies. And I really feel like this movie got a lot of... Was very underestimated. And it, because, you know, it had, like, that fantasy aspect, but it did bring... You know, it had a little bit of feel to like Lord of the Rings in it, and they had a little bit of the George Lucas flair from Star Wars.
I had no clue about this, and when I read the summary, which the summary, you know, says a young farmer is chosen to undertake a perilous journey in order to protect a special baby from an evil queen, that one sentence made me like, I want to see this.
Yeah, I feel like it was definitely a good movie, and it had some very good effects for the time for being in 1988.
Well, I mean, it was also produced by Lucasfilm,
yeah,
which has been like a pioneer in special effects with Star Wars. You know, they created their own company just based around special effects.
Yep.
So them having that is really no shock to me.
What I'm actually very excited for is about, I must have missed it with watching, you know, the introduction of it with Warwick Davis and everything, that I thought it was going to be like a sequel movie. But yeah. But apparently it's going to be an 8-episode series.
An 8-episode series. Yeah, the video really only just introduced us to the cast.
Which is good, because, you know, a lot of times nowadays you don't get to see that. And,
yeah.
And I love Warwick Davis. And, you know, we're going to talk about it more in a second, but I loved everything he's done, because he's done a lot with Lucasfilm. He's very creative, especially because, and we're going to be talking about it a lot now, and I'm sure in the future, because he has tie-ins with this project, and so does the director with the Harry Potter movies.
So one thing that I saw from this video, it stars Aaron Kellyman, who is spectacular. She has been in... I think she's killed every role she's done so far.
I'm not familiar with Aaron.
Why am I Solo? She played Elfie's Nest. Okay. She was the leader of the group. And she was also in... Captain America, Winter Soldier. She was the person in charge of the group of the group that was taking all of the serum. She was in charge of that group.
The Winter Soldier?
Was it the Winter Soldier? I think it was.
I mean, I don't
there was that group of people take... Yeah, it was the Winter Soldier. They were the group of people that were taking all of the doses.
Oh, you're talking about Civil War. She was a squad leader of one of the Winter Soldiers they were making. Is that what you're talking about?
No. Remember, it was Captain America and the new one, the Disney Plus series.
Oh! You said Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yes, that.
Oh yeah, she
becomes Captain America. That's where my brain goes. But yeah, she was the one in charge. So she is in charge of two groups, vital groups in two different Disney properties.
Yeah, no, you've got Erin Kellerman did a phenomenal job, and I'm very excited to see her
leading in Marvel, this group of misfits, and you got her leading in Star Wars, this group of misfits. So she's like the group of misfit person for Disney. In
Star Wars.
Yeah, Solo. She played Elfie's Nest in Solo.
You just said that. I don't know why. Yeah, I feel as though I didn't know her as much as well in Star Wars. She's fantastic. But, you know, I feel as though her real breakout role was Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Could not.
I know that you don't like Solo too much.
I'm not a big fan.
One joke that was mentioned in this little video that was 3 minutes. Erin was like talking about who she was, and he was like blowing her off. It was like a big joke. He seemed very pretentious, which I think was like a big joke of it, because he's not, I think. But she was like, "Oh, I'm Erin Kellerman. We were in a movie together called Solo," and he was like, "Yes, that is the one Star Wars movie I have never seen." And I was like, "Oh, that's a good joke," because he's been a huge person in Star Wars. You know, back in the day, the Ewok.
Yes, he was. He was.
And I believe he was in Harry Potter.
Oh, you know he was in here. Please tell me.
I know he was, but I don't like getting told I'm wrong.
No, he was in Harry Potter, and that's the best. That is.
Wasn't he Professor Flitwick?
He was Professor Flitwick.
Okay, thank you. I have a brain sometimes.
It's very fascinating too that one thing about Professor Flitwick, he did play Professor Flitwick in every single movie. But what's even more fascinating is that I don't know if you ever noticed this because he was in the first movie as Professor Flitwick, but he did have a different appearance to him. And that all changed after Chris Columbus left the projects. And when it went to more of a darker undertone with the third movie, after they lost, I cannot think of his name, but they lost the first actor as Professor Dumbledore. They sadly lost him. He passed. And Chris Columbus had to leave the projects. And when they got the new directors to make, you know, kind of get like the darker undertones, Professor Flitwick had an appearance change within that movie. And then from so on, for the rest of the franchise, he just looked as that character. And it was because, you know, in the first movie we see him, he looks kind of older with gray
hair. I've watched Harry Potter. I didn't get into it until later on.
You're welcome.
But I literally binged it. I watched all 8 movies within 2 days.
Easily done.
I just like sat down all day. Oh yeah, he did have a really big change. Because I only know him from the second picture, the most recent one.
Pulled it up because you know, he had the gray hair with, like, you know, he had kind of like, you know, the side hair and everything and the balding, but then he completely changed his appearance. But I love his second appearance more with the darker undertone with the, you know, he has like the little handlebar mustache. Mm-hmm. He's got like the slick back brown hair. And I'm like, yeah, that's Professor Flitwick. That's gotta be.
So this series was actually directed by someone else. But due to the tightening COVID-19 restrictions on the UK.
Yep.
As well as this director had a kid on the way. So he decided to step back from the project in January 2020. But it was John Chu was originally supposed to be the director for this. And he stepped back and Stephen Wolfenden,
yep.
Stepped in. He's got 15 director credits and 60 assistant director credits.
Which is still pretty impressive and still pretty big.
Yeah, so for a director credits, he's got Outlander. He did 5 episodes. And he has 2 episodes of Doctor Who. Then his assistant director credits are extensive in the Harry Potter universe. Talking about Harry Potter.
Yeah, exactly, which is phenomenal to see. And I'm excited because he's going to be reoccurring in, for the assistant directing of Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore, which is, yeah. I believe, going to be releasing in 2022.
I'm excited about that.
I'm very excited as well. And, you know, he did Detective Pikachu, but it's a little off topic of Harry Potter. But then, you know, you got the Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, you had the first one, Where to Find Them, Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2, Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 1, Half-Blood Prince, The Order of Phoenix. You know, those are very interesting because I feel as I, why am I drawing on who the director for those Harry Potter movies is?
I don't,
because I believe he,
but he has history with Warwick.
They all do, because, correct me if I'm wrong, I do believe that the director of Harry Potter's 5 through 8 were the same, they were the same director, and I cannot remember his name, but I also believe that he did direct the first two Fantastic Beasts movie, and I believe he did come back for the third one. He's coming back for the third one. So, you know, he's the team.
David Yates,
thank you. Oh my god, I was gonna say David, but I could not think of his last name. I don't want to sit here just saying David over and over again. Yep. But I believe that, you know,
like I do.
Yeah,
I just Steve
Wolfden and Wolfenden and David Yates, they're a team. Mm-hmm. You know, because you know, he has all these director credits, and David, the Order of the Phoenix is the first Harry Potter movie that David Yates came to direct, and he was asked back for the sixth, then for the seventh, mm-hmm. then for the second part of the seventh. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe he directed the Fantastic Beasts, Where to Find Them, and Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald, and he is now returning for The Secrets of Dumbledore.
I don't know.
And I believe Stephen Wolfden, yeah, because, you know, they're a team.
Yeah, that's
what they do. That's what they do. They're a team. And you know, I was never a big fan of...
You know, I had never realized that there were so many, you know, duo partners that directed movies until literally this episode. You know, going through the directors.
Yeah, going through.
Because later on,
we'll get to it because we have some comments about that. So, but I'm very excited to see this because it makes me think that, you know, this, like, he's taking on this as the director.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll see maybe some producer credits from David Yates because, you know, because they're a team. Because right from the Order of the Phoenix, you know, they directed and assistant directed, and from the, I, you know, looking back on it, rewatching the Harry Potter series during COVID, you know, I was never a big fan of the Order of the Phoenix, but rewatching the Order of the Phoenix and all the movies after it, it made me just fall in love with it visually, like, even more, because, as you know, it has a darker undertone and the shots are just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And them being able to work as a team to create these and really display them out to the public, it's just unbelievable to see. And I'm very excited to maybe possibly see an assistant directing out of David Yates, or maybe in producer credit, because I feel like it'd just be right, you know what I mean?
As of right now, there's no producer credit for David Yates.
Interesting. So we could in the future, though.
Yeah, we could.
It could be announced.
We
still don't have a release date yet
in the future.
And I'm just very excited to see him take the helm as a director for this. And I'm quite very excited for Willow 2022, and as soon as we get a release month, I'm gonna put it in the calendar.
You know,
and I'm gonna,
I have to go and watch
streaming
the
it.
Original.
We'll have to watch it maybe sometime during Christmas break. We'll sit down, we'll rent it, and we'll watch it.
I have to watch it. I have to see if it's on any streaming platforms.
It may be on Hulu or maybe Peacock.
I might be falling, you know, into the Willow realm tonight. Lay down and watch Willow.
No, oh, we're gonna do it together, Dan. We're gonna do it during winter break. I swear to God, if you watch it on me, I'll be so mad.
I'm so excited to see if this is a continuation or a retelling.
I feel as though it will be a continuation only because it's a series, and with that, I feel as though we'll see a season 2.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, we'll have to see. Once we find more about it, we'll definitely be able to talk about it more.
Yeah, I just want a trailer.
I do too.
I want a trailer so bad.
We'll get there.
Because I did see, like, a little bit of the trailer from the original, and it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, we'll get there.
With new technology.
Yeah, all the CGI.
It's going to look so good.
A long, long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, the fans demanded Ewan McGregor reprise his role, and announced in 2021 he would be reprising his role as Obi-Wan Kenobi. And now we have much, much information on the Obi-Wan Kenobi series coming in 2022.
We got some new stuff.
We have plenty of new stuff,
so,
and I'm very excited.
Disney, for Disney Plus Day, they released a little, like, talk with the director and Ewan McGregor. that give us a little bit more insight on the series. And while I was looking up to get the information, there was no summary of the series, but episode one has a summary.
It does, yes. I actually did read it as well. And if you would allow me to, I would very much like to read it.
Go ahead.
So episode one, 10 years after the fall of the Galactic Republic, Obi-Wan Kenobi, played by Ewan McGregor, hides on Tatooine, distantly protecting the son of his former apprentice, Luke Skywalker. Darth Vader, Hayden Christensen, eagerly searches for Obi-Wan and other living Jedi with his apprentice, Galen Merrick, who is played by Sam Witwer.
You know how I mentioned a couple weeks ago we talked about the other series coming out, Book of Boba Fett?
Yes.
And I mentioned that I was so excited to see Tatooine highlighted again in this project. We're getting it again in Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, we 1,000% are, and it's going to be great to see. One big question I am going to have about this, are we going to possibly see the, oh my God, why can't I think? It was literally just in my head. The sisters, the nine. You know what I mean? The Sith with the like the spinny lightsabers.
Oh.
Will we see some of those? Like the six
sisters, I think their name is.
The six sisters. I think that's what it is. Because I know we saw them. They were featured. I don't know if you played the video game, but they were featured heavily in Jedi Fallen Order.
They were in one of the animated series as well.
They were in Rebels.
Yes.
They had some. The Inquisitors.
Yes.
The Inquisitors. They were called the Inquisitors. That was what it was. So I do maybe think that we will maybe see some.
Maybe.
If not, I'm not sure, but Galen Merrick could also be a reference to, you know, because I don't know if you ever played the Star Wars The Force Unleashed video games. Did you ever play those?
I did not.
But Galen Merrick, you know, it could be more of a reference to the story arc of that due to...
So Galen Merrick was in
interesting.
Legends.
Yes. No. So yes, Galen Merrick, I know you just looked it up. Mm-hmm. He was the main character in the Star Wars Force Unleashed 1 and 2. And, you know, he was taken in his story within the game. He was taken in by Lord Vader after he's
codenamed Starkiller.
Starkiller. Yes. Cause he was just a child.
I feel like I've seen the name Starkiller in something recently.
Because it was probably in reference to this. So the story behind it is his father and him were hiding on Kashyyyk, and there was kind of like a final assault on Kashyyyk to eliminate the rest of the Wookiees. And you see Lord Vader, you know, he goes after he's going after the Wookiees and he's looking for the Jedi, but he senses such a strong and powerful Jedi there, and he thinks it's Galen Merrick's father. But as he's about to strike his father down, like for the final blow, Galen Merrick, you know, as a little child, he uses the Force and conjures Vader's lightsaber. He activates it and threatens him with it, and he just drops his father after he chokes him to death. And stormtroopers come in, and they're about to eliminate Galen Merrick as a little child. But Lord Vader says, no. You know, he says, fuck that, because he sees potential in raising an apprentice to the dark side. So he calls back his lightsaber, and he eliminates his stormtrooper squadron, who's about to eliminate him. But what's even more fascinating about that is that nobody, including the Emperor, knows about Galen Merrick. That he operates under Lord Vader's command in secret. Oh. So it's going to be very interesting. So maybe that Galen Merrick is going to be... Because the whole premise around The Force Unleashed 1 is that Galen Merrick is sent to find the Jedi around the solar system and the galaxy to eliminate them. I know in the story you... one huge name you eliminate is Shaak Ti, who was a huge member of the Jedi Order.
Okay.
So it's going to be very interesting. So maybe, you know, it's kind of like at the backbone and the ending of, you know, his hunt. And he wants to, you know, he sends Galen Merrick after Obi-Wan Kenobi.
So I've been scrolling on Wikipedia under Garen Merrick.
Wikipedia, yep.
For probably the whole time you've been talking, and I am not even halfway done. There is so much lore to this character.
There is, because he had two video games based off of him, and they were long video games too. They took at least, you know, like a good 2-3 days to beat. I mean, the second one was a little bit shorter than the first one was, but the first one was great, you know, because you had Galen Merrick. He was Vader's apprentice, but then he found his roots again and returned to the light side.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting.
So I actually was not really aware of that. You know, I kind of spaced over it when I read the description time.
I don't know if this is reaching. I wonder if that's going to be the cliffhanger for the season, is that they go all this time trying to collect Luke, and at the end is when Galen betrays Vader to protect Luke.
No, because here's the thing. Vader didn't know about Luke.
Did he not?
No. Vader did not know about Luke until...
Well, he's about to.
No. He didn't know about Luke or Leia being his kid, his child's children, until A New Hope. So the main premise is that, you know, like we read in the thing, they're searching for Jedi to eradicate the Jedi Order.
He's definitely going to come in contact with Luke here because
Obi-Wan... Well, no, here's the thing, is what it'll be. Maybe he comes to Tatooine searching for Jedi. Mm-hmm. He senses, he senses Force energy within Luke, but they have no identification of who Luke Skywalker even is. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be a young Luke Skywalker here, so maybe Obi-Wan's just going to, he's going to lure himself out into the open. And he's going to attract Galen Merrick. But again, episode one could not be him on Tatooine. Because I do believe that if we see it, we're going to see multiple seasons of the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Because if you recall in Rebels, Obi-Wan Kenobi did have played some crucial roles in Rebels. And if you correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe he had a final showdown with Darth Maul in Rebels.
Oh, I don't know.
So I doubt that Darth Maul. Oh, no, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan? Huh.
And that was the final. That was the final showdown.
So that lasted all these years. Speaking of Darth Maul, now that you're bringing him up, I decided to just look up who Sam Witwer is, who is playing Galen Merrick, and he is actually Darth Maul in the Clone Wars, and the video games. He is Darth Maul. So that's it. And in Solo, he was Maul as well. So that's interesting. Oh, and in Rebels. So he's been Maul's voice for quite
which is some very time. Interesting. So maybe there was a mistake with introducing Galen Merrick.
He's also been the voice of Emperor Palpatine in Battlefront. And
hold on, show me a picture of him. Because I know they did motion. Ooh. Yeah, they did motion capture for Sam Witwer. That's exactly who Sam Witwer is in the Force Unleashed. So it's going to be interesting because, maybe something got it wrong. And maybe they're going to recast Darth Maul for this.
In Force Unleashed, he was Emperor Palpatine.
He did voice Emperor Palpatine, but he was the main character if you look at at Galen Merrick. Look at him and then look at Galen Merrick.
Interesting.
But, so what I think with that, maybe they'll recast Darth Maul for it if they do in the future. Or maybe Darth Maul...
some speculation that we may see the return of Ray Park as Darth Maul.
I did hear that, and that could also be coming to fruition. Again, like maybe they'll focus heavily on Galen Merrick this season and Lord Vader, and then maybe when it comes time for his second or third season, we'll get Darth Maul. Maybe we'll even get some of the ghost crew from the Rebels. And within the series, maybe some Ahsoka Tano action. I would love
to see so many reintroductions. Yep, but it's only 6 episodes.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. So seasons.
Yeah.
So seasons, because then...
I'm going to want so much more so quickly.
Because, as we see in Rebels, we see Obi-Wan Kenobi is old when he finally defeats Darth Maul for the final time. Even the final showdown, he finally kills him. Yeah, spoiler alert, guys. Sorry if you haven't seen Rebels. It's been out for quite some time now. A couple of years. So go watch it if you haven't. Sorry for the spoiler, but, that's how they could maybe end the series. Because he is older when he does defeat Darth Maul finally. And he's the older Obi-Wan when he meets and trains Luke. So maybe that could be the end of the series.
Yeah.
Which would be very interesting to see. And one thing
Rey does return, Rey, of course, natural progression. He is older.
Oh, yeah. They got that rivalry. But another thing I'm very fascinated with is, he has so many connections to the living Jedi and the dead Jedi. So... And I know you have it in your notes. I did see it, but that also made me give me a recall to the end of the Revenge of the Sith. Remember when Yoda and him are talking after Luke and Leia are born, and he talks of going to Tatooine to bring Luke there. Yoda does to Obi-Wan, and he says that an old master of yours is awaiting you there. And Obi-Wan says, "Qui-Gon So I know Liam Neeson has expressed interest in reprising his role. Yep. So I do expect, if not in this season and a following season of Obi-Wan Kenobi, we'll see, you know, a ghost apparition of Qui-Gon Jinn. Because we did see, we did have Liam Neeson reprise his role as Qui-Gon Jinn in the latest Star Wars movie, in the Rise of Skywalker. Because at the end, when Rey is half conscious and she's going to beat the Emperor, we have Samuel Jackson, we have Hayden Christensen, we have Ewan McGregor, we have Qui-Gon, we have Freddie Prinze Jr., we have Liam Neeson, we have all of them reprising their roles as these Jedis. Mm-hmm. And they're speaking to Rey. They're giving her the inspiration. They're giving her the strength to stand up and finally strike down the dark forces of evil forever.
Yeah, this is set about 10 years after Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, which is plenty of time because, you know, Ewan McGregor, he was so young when the Revenge of the Sith, they come out. And but mm-hmm. he looks the same from how they did it, his hair and makeup. And it's going to be great to see that.
I just want a trailer so bad.
I do. We're going to get it. We're going to get it very soon. I, if I had a guess, I speculate this coming around May.
Yeah.
Because May the 4th could be the same weekend. Because we don't really have any announced Star Wars projects.
I really feel like, I think this is the only Star Wars, Book of Boba Fett, but that doesn't come out. This might drop on May 4th. Real big speculation. This might be done. I don't know.
Well, they're almost done with it. They were either almost done with it or they had, were finishing it up right now.
We might get the first episode May 4th.
That'd be incredible.
I think we're going to, but I just want a trailer so bad.
Because I know.
While I was looking through the cast list, I noticed a name that I'm so excited about, and that is Kumail Nanjiani. I believe that's how you say his name. I'm really bad with names, if you guys know. But he is like so recognizable in movies. He recently was in Eternals.
Yeah, yes. I knew his name looked familiar. Yes, 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 because he's played in so much. You know, he's,
so much. Stuber.
He did have appearances in Community.
He was in Men in Black.
Episode. Yes, he was. I love him. He's all around hilarious. So funny. And especially because, you know, with Eternals, you know, with Marvel, you had to really go on that diet and you really got to build up muscle. He built up incredible muscle to play his character in Eternals, which we yet have to see still.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll probably, you know, maybe if we have a day off, you know, later in our vacation right here, we'll go see it. But it's you know, it's going to be awesome to see him in this series because of, you know, his physique. And he's going to be able to do a lot more with that physique, you know, like stunt wise, you know, action wise, you know, fight scene wise. It's going to be incredible. Yeah. Another casting I'm very excited for because, you know, it's the return of him, Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
And we have him playing Darth Vader. It's going to be just a phenomenal movie all around.
It's going to be
cool. Movie. Sorry. Series.
Series. Yeah.
Phenomenal series. I said movie. But yeah,
well, we're not used to Star Wars being series. We're used to being movies.
I'm just so I know this is your cup of tea, but I'm going to go through and talk about it. Directed by Deborah Chow. Yes. I'm just so excited for this. Sorry. And she has a lot of director credits.
23.
Under her belt. Yeah. So and what's more, the most important about it is she has the history of, you know, she's probably a comic book nerd because she has that history of doing comic book based movies and sci-fi. Yeah. She has the comic book. She filmed an episode of Jessica Jones, which is one of the best Netflix shows from Marvel ever. It goes, my favorite is easily Daredevil and Jessica Jones. I love those two series. Probably my favorite series ever. And then, you know, the Fear the Walking Dead. She has two episodes. It was not a reboot, but, you know, like a
extension
onto the Walking Dead universe. And then she directed episodes 3 and chapter 3 and 7 of The Mandalorian.
Yep.
Which is, you know, she's got that recent history of Star Wars movies, too. Star Wars, based directing, so it's gonna be great to see her fulfill her destiny to bring the fans' destiny to life, and it's gonna be an incredible piece to watch.
I'm so excited that she's going from having control of two episodes from The Mandalorian to now being in control of her own series,
which is great, and I'm very excited because maybe, you know, we only have 4 episode announcements for directors for the Book of Boba Fett. So, hey, maybe we'll see Deborah Chow.
Maybe we'll see a Deborah Chow episode. Boba Fett, yeah.
Or maybe we'll see her for Mandalorian season 3.
Yeah, which, you know, like I've said in previous episodes, when directors have just a couple of episodes per series, I kind of think of that, you know, in a negative mindset. But to see her do 2 episodes of The Mandalorian and then furthermore be given a whole series in the same universe,
Yep.
Proves that she did something right.
Exactly. Yeah.
She killed those two episodes, and she now has proved herself to, you know, give that heart and that soul into the project, and I'm excited to see this.
I'm very excited to see this, and, you know, once we have more on it, I'm sure we're going to be talking about it in the near future.
Yeah, when we get that first trailer.
Oh, yes, oh, we will. Yes, we will.
So much more to talk about. Yes, we will,
my young Padawan. To conclude our this week's episode, we have Hawkeye that came out this previous week, November 24th. And, you know, I've yet to watch the episodes. I wanted to, you know, get the general idea and our predictions, our thoughts of just watching the trailers before we got to really sit down and watch the episodes. I know we're probably after this episode, we're going to watch them. And I've been so absolutely excited about this series ever since it was announced. And I'm very excited to see, you know, such a complex character like Hawkeye, Clint Barton, with such a great backstory. And, you know, it looks to me as though a lot of this story is going to go off of, you know, the enemies he's made as his alter ego as Ronan during the 5 years of the blip when everyone was vanished because of Thanos. And what I'm super, super excited for is not only that it's going to feature around Jeremy Renner's Clint Barton, but we're going to see one of my favorite castings ever is Hayley Steinfeld as Kate Bishop, who is absolutely one of my favorite comic book characters ever, one of the young Avengers. And we've seen so much of Kate Bishop in the last 2 years because she was just featured. She was the first DLC featured character in the Marvel's Avengers game that was released at the end of 2019. I believe 2020. It was the first. Oh, someone's at my door. But she was the first DLC character to be introduced in the 2020s of Marvel's Avengers, which I believe the DLC came out later in 2020. And, you know, just from watching the trailer, you know, her and Hawkeye, Clint Barton, they have such great chemistry. You know, it's kind of like a father adopted daughter kind of thing. And, you know, getting to see the connection that they have, that, you know, the quippiness, the back and forth banter. Yeah. And it seems as though that
they have really good chemistry.
They have great chemistry. It looks, and I'm bummed that it's only 6 episodes.
We'll probably get a season 2.
I hope we'll get a season 2, so, but I'm very scared for it because, you know, I'm saying this really early about talking about it, but I may think this might be the end of Clint Barton, whether he's dead or just officially retires.
So here's what the speculation that I've heard time and time again is that they're introducing all of these members of the Young Avengers.
Yes, but not only the Young Avengers, and we'll talk about it more, a group known as the Thunderbolts. That's my prediction because it hasn't been confirmed, but it has been heavily speculated. Here's the
thing. I think we're getting a workup to a Young Avengers either movie or series based on, you know, the past couple of years. They've really been introducing us piece by piece to the Young Avengers, you know, now with Kate Bishop. And then, you know, in Avengers, we were introduced to, I believe, Ant-Man's daughter. My door is going crazy right now. But Ant-Man's daughter, I believe, is a part of the Young Avengers.
She will be. I believe she will be taking the mantle of the Wasp. We also have Tom Holland. He's a young kid. He's Spider-Man. We have as a Young Avenger.
Was he a part of the Young Avengers, you know,
I believe group? I believe he had some, but I'm not entirely sure. You know, but I'm
looking it up.
But and we'll have plenty more too, because Yelena could. We're getting But
a Young Avengers movie in the works.
Or a series. And so, at the end of The Black Widow, we see in the post-credit scene, you know, she's paying respects to Yelena Belova. She's paying respects to Natasha's grave. Mm-hmm. And we see her roll up with Valentina. And Valentina hands her iPad and says, "I just thought you would like to go after the man who was responsible for your sister's death." Mm-hmm. And we see Clint Barton. And so it's very intriguing because Valentina's always been kind of, in the comics, she's always been a very anti-hero kind of person. And she's like, you know, kind of like the creator of the Thunderbolts, which is an anti-hero organization that butts heads with the Avengers. So it's going to be interesting that she wants to see an Avenger dead.
Yeah. Well,
she has had run-ins, sorry to cut you off again, but she also has run-ins with Nick Fury and like in the past in the comics. But it's going to be interesting too, to add on to that, we don't see a lot of Yelena. So she could take on maybe another identity in this as maybe like a super heroine alter ego. But another thing to add to that is that, you know, at the end of this, will she be a member of the Young Avengers or will she be a part of the Thunderbolts? Because another question that was raised about that is that we do see in the trailer, Hawkeye is, you know, tied up with hands behind his back in a chair. And we see a woman come forward. And you and I both did the digging before, you know, we watched the episode. And that is Alakwa Cox, who is playing Maya Lopez, a.k.a. Echo. And in the comics,
which Echo is also another announced Disney Plus series.
Yes, which is
coming soon.
Very awesome to hear. And I'm very curious to see this character because in the comics, she's the adoptive daughter of Kingpin, who is the arch nemesis of Daredevil. And he has had run-ins with Spider-Man. And he is actually made, you know, he's made a live action debut in the Daredevil series. And he kind of plays the main villain in that, okay, which is incredible. And if they do go in that direction with her being the adopted daughter of him, that means we'll get the MCU debut of Kingpin. We'll get the MCU debut possibly of Daredevil. And it will be interesting to see because, you know, we see her walk in as he's tied to a chair. So will we see her as a Thunderbolt in the beginning and maybe have her be a Young Avenger? Or is she, you know, is her and Yelena going to share that kind of same fate, you know? And are her and Yelena working together against Hawkeye? Because it seems like Hawkeye has so many enemies that are after him. And which it's just crazy to me that, you know, he's going to see himself in so many type of predicaments that he's going to have to get out of.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Black Widow, there was so much packed into that. But my favorite part of that movie was Yelena.
Black Widow was my all-time least, one of my least favorite Marvel movies of all time.
Her as a character and an actress.
It is very funny because Florence Pugh going into it, you know, I was familiar with Florence Pugh and I was like, okay, maybe Yelena, she's gonna be a good character. But, and you know, I was actually way more excited for David Harbour as the Red Guardian. I was like, oh my God, I fucking love David Harbour. He's such a good actor. And I loved him from Stranger Things. I actually, one of the very few, liked Hellboy.
Hellboy was great.
And then I saw him in the movie and I was like, okay, he was okay. But Yelena just stole the show.
Oh, yeah. Florence Pugh
stole the show. And that was the only, in my opinion, that was the only redeeming quality of Black Widow. I thought it was so mucked about. And I hated the direction they went with Taskmaster. Because Taskmaster is one of my all-time favorite villains in the comic books.
Yeah.
And just like I feel like it was just a little bit of a lazy cop out making him Taskmaster, who was supposed to be a man, be the daughter of the main baddie who ran the Red Room. I just felt it was such a cop out because he could have done so much more with that character than doing that. I mean, maybe it could have been like, oh, maybe there was always a Taskmaster, but maybe he's locked away and maybe she kind of took, like, they gave her the enhancements to have that, you know, the memory, because you remember the fight patterns in the movie. Maybe they just gave her the enhancements and made her don the role of Taskmaster while he was locked away. That's what I hope, because I really do hope to see the actual version of Taskmaster.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see her back.
I am excited, but I'm going to be very upset if she has anything. If Clint Barton does die in the series, I'm going to be very excited. If she's, I'm going to have such conflicted feelings. Like, oh my God, I loved you in Black Widow, but fuck, you killed Clint. I don't want that to happen. Yeah,
I didn't put the end credit scene of Black Widow and this series together until I was looking through the cast list. And I was like, she's in this? I instantly... was like, my excitement went from like a 6 to see this to like 10. I was like, max.
Well, my excitement is because I love Kate Bishop, and I kind of want to finish this all off with talking more about her because it's gonna really be eccentric of Hawkeye, but she's gonna be the new Hawkeye.
Well, this is the live action and MCU debut of Kate Bishop.
Yes, it is, and I do want to talk more about this. Don't get me wrong, but I would much rather finish it off with it because I have so much to talk about. Okay. And I know we can talk about the directors.
Let's move on to a couple of scenes from the trailer. When he is laying on the couch and he has these bags on his face because he probably just got his ass whooped.
Yeah.
And he's in pain.
Yeah, you know, he don't got no superpowers, so yeah.
He doesn't have ice packs either. Because he is laying on the couch with daiquiri as ice packs. And I know that because I have them in my freezer right now.
Oh, do you?
Yes, of course. So I was like, that is a daiquiri ice pack, and that costs $2 at the liquor store. He is a cheap motherfucker. I hope we get to see him just pop one open and drink it.
Well, we don't know if it's his apartment, because it could be Kate Bishop's. She is at the age that it looks as though she could own her own apartment. She's about 18.
Is of the age to drink? Because it's alcohol.
Know. Yeah, I mean,
they are alcoholic beverages.
Yeah. You're right.
So,
I mean, she could be. Well, I mean, we'll have to see more. Because
it takes place in New York, so she'd have to be 21, which I don't think her character is in this.
In this, she might be, but in the past, she has definitely been younger in the comics. One casting I'm very excited about too is Vera Farmiga, and I've known her for so many. She's really been well known in the past years for her roles as Lorraine Warren in the Conjuring movies. Yeah, I know you're not very familiar with that, but she was also in the horror movie called Orphan. And she was in the Conjuring movies, and she was in the Many Saints of Newark that just came out, the Soprano story, and she was in Bates Motel, the television series, and she's a phenomenal actress, and I'm very excited to see her in this, because you know she does have that like sly comment making like aspect about her, and just for her to be playing like kind of like an uppity, stuck up kind of Mrs. Bishop is going to be hilarious to see, because I feel like her and Haley Steinfeld are going to just have that chemistry as well. And like, oh yeah, mom, yeah, doing the.
So Rogers the Musical.
You know, we haven't seen much about it,
when is that coming to Broadway?
I would love to see it in Broadway,
because I'll be there next week. you know, the opening night, I will be front row for Rogers the Musical.
But I do like seeing, you know, like that. You know, they're not forgetting about
Steve Rogers.
Not forgetting about the people who really solidified the beginning of the cinematic universe for us.
I'm so glad that it's not just like a marquee, because later in the trailer we do actually see that they're at the musical.
Yes.
And we actually see them. I'm so glad that we get to like get a slice of the musical. And I hope we just get it.
Yeah.
Can it be Broadway or off Broadway even?
I don't know.
Do a traveling tour.
Maybe you're hoping for too much there.
Can I get you over in Boston?
One question,
at the Wang Theater.
One question I did have about that though is I know in the trailer we see Clint with his children, mm-hmm. and there's only four of them there. You know, we got Clint and then we have the three kids. So where's his wife? Maybe because he has done so many horrible things from the time that they vanished. And maybe talked about his wife about it. And she was like, okay, listen, like, no more. Okay, officially retire. But maybe he didn't want to. So maybe they had a separation, maybe. Or maybe a divorce. Because they're in New York right now. Well, and maybe she wasn't with him.
So maybe it is a separation. And maybe the ending of the series ends with him
retiring.
And they're finally ending that together
as a whole family.
If we just nailed that shit on the head...
Dude, high five right now. I'm just fucking, yeah.
Because I think that is what's going to happen.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd be okay with that ending. You know, as long as he didn't die.
I think if that happens, we need to make t-shirts that say we guessed it right with the Hawkeye logo on the back.
MCU mediums. And then we'll have the logo of the True. Hawkeye. And every prediction we get right, we'll add
the logo. We just add it on. We'll add a logo, perfect. Like a patch.
Easy. I do want to talk about the directors before we get into the final topic of...
Well, I have a few more scenes to talk about before we get into director.
Okay.
So, the Molly. Catch and throw the Molotov.
Oh, that... I love that. You know why? Because it just... I feel as though this show is just going to emphasize how skilled of an archer and how skilled of a soldier Clint Barton is, because mm-hmm. we never really got to see that besides the, you know, the bow and arrows scenes.
Yeah,
because you know he's on the phone. Actually, you know what, it may be a separation now that I'm thinking about it, because he's on the phone with his wife, and he's like, hold on honey, and then he just, you know, he breaks it with his elbow while he's on the phone, puts the phone down, catches the Molly, and then throws it right back out the window. No, effortlessly, doesn't even graze the broken glass, and he's like, oh okay, yeah, hi, which is it, and it just shows that that amount of skill that he has, which is incredible. And I know you've seen your notes. You want to talk about the explosive arrow scene.
Yes.
very funny scene. And that's just a glimpse of the comedy we're going to see, because Kate has no filter, and she will not have any filter, and she'll definitely make fun of Clint Barton so much in this. And we're going to see, I'm going to compare it like a granddaughter and a grandpa kind of thing, because she always calls him grandpa. She always calls him old. She's always making fun of his age. And I feel as though, you know, because he moves slower than she is, because she's a lot younger than he mm-hmm. is, that she'll give him all these whippy humor. So the scene with the arrows and she's giving him shit, like, oh, not that arrow, definitely not that arrow. And then he's casually hands her an explosive arrow. Are we going to
get a turtle in the hair comparison?
No.
Whereas, you know, the fast hair doesn't always, you know, get farther than the old turtle.
Too much speculation,
You know, speaking of comedy, this is directed by Rhys Thomas. And he is directing episodes 1, 2, and 6.
Yeah, for some reason we didn't have any other speculation about, you know, there's 3, 4, or 5.
Yeah. But there's 24 director credits. And a majority of them are SNL-related projects.
Yeah, all comedy specials. You know, he's worked with John Mulaney, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and a lot of SNLs. And not only just random SNL episodes, you know, a lot of great hosts and musical guest episodes. Yeah. And they're incredible.
It's going to be interesting to see what he brings to this.
We definitely see within the trailer, we got the comedic aspect of it. Because, you know, Kate
Bishop. The Zachary Ice Packs.
Then we got Kate Bishop with her quippy one-liners. You know, she's gonna have a very carefree attitude. And mm-hmm. you know, the scene where Hawkeye's tied up, and then he's like, oh, who's your boss? And then she falls through the window, and she's like, ah, and they all point guns at her, and she goes, oh, I didn't get the memo. We were supposed to bring guns.
Yep.
And it's gonna be very funny to see.
And then the other director in release we have also says that they're directing episode 1.
Yeah, as a duo. Yep.
But we also have Rhys Thomas directing episode 1.
So maybe just co-direction.
So, but this is the duo group, Bert and Bertie. They only have 8 director credits, and they're all together.
Yep.
They have 2 episodes of The Great and Troop Zero, which I believe was either Netflix or Amazon.
I'm actually not very familiar with Troop Zero.
It was like a Girl Scout camp.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense.
So it's interesting to see what they bring to it with only having 8 credits. It's going to be interesting.
It's going
to
be very interesting.
And I want to know who else is directing this, because we still have more info.
Yeah, we don't.
They like to keep secrets. You know, like last week, with 2 weeks ago with the Book of Boba Fett.
Yep,
they didn't give us all the directors, so we're not getting all of it. I want to know. I yearn to know the answers. I yearn.
But and now to really conclude this topic of conversation, I'm unbelievably excited for the casting of Hailee Steinfeld as Kate Bishop. And I'm so excited to see Kate Bishop finally get her MCU debut. Mm-hmm. Because even not only Clint Barton, she's going to have, I can already see from the trailer, we're going to have so much phenomenal chemistry between her and Jeremy Renner. And, you know, if they do continue to bring her into the MCU movies and the other TV series, and, you know, we do have Echo, Maya Lopez's Echo as in this, so maybe we'll see her in Echo. Maybe we'll team up. Maybe we'll have a little team up. Maybe even Florence Pugh will be part of it if we see it. And it's going to be great to just, you know, see her other interactions. Echo she's a superheroine. So, you know, we have superheroes as male, superheroine is female.
Oh, so she's good.
Yes. Which is very odd, because, you know, her adoptive father is a crime boss. He's a criminal. But it will be interesting to see, you know, her.
She's rebelling.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. But it's going to be cool to see Kate Bishop's comedic aspects added to the show, as well as her interactions with Clint Barton and maybe even the villain.
That's an interesting topic. Maybe in Echo, we don't have any information about it at all. Maybe she ends up fighting her father.
Yeah, maybe we can see a Daredevil team up, which would be very cool.
Interesting.
But I kind of hope we do get Daredevil for Spider-Man. I very, very much do.
Isn't Daredevil a Sony property? Or
nope.
No?
Nope.
Oh, it's one of those Netflix properties, isn't it? There's like a few.
Not anymore.
Well, it was.
Hours. Well, I work with Marvel. No, but Marvel's now.
Dream job, though, right?
Yeah, dream job. Oh, phenomenal dream job. But no, it's going to be very interesting to see Kate Bishop in this. And I can't wait to see, you know, I love also that they're bringing, I can't remember the name of the dog for the life of me, but her dog is a one-eyed dog. Yep. And in the future, he actually gets an eye patch.
Which I almost put in the notes, but I was like...
he's very, very adorable dog. You know, he's like Kate's best friend. And
I think he was a golden retriever.
It is a golden retriever, and he has one eye. And we didn't see the infamous eye patch he has, but he in the trailer. But we did maybe see him with antlers. Maybe he will. Hopefully, he will. And but we do like see a, him with it'll be a antlers. Christmas
present.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It'll be could. His Christmas gift.
It could.
Here, you're a little ugly with one eye.
No, cover. Stop it. He's a good boy. He's a good boy. Stop it. But it's gonna be a very interesting series, and I'm so unbelievably excited about it. And I was,
and it just released, so
yeah, I can't wait. So can't wait to watch it, Chris. I really can't wait.
I'm so excited.
I know we gotta watch it. Let's watch it right after this episode.
Right now. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us this week. As always, if you guys want to give us a follow over on Twitter, we are at CRConvo. And if you guys enjoyed the episode, please go ahead and like and rate us. It really does help. If you want to follow along with myself, you can find me over on Twitter at Chris White with 2 T's.
And you can follow me over at Twitter on Brennan White at Brennan White 3. And don't forget, guys, at the end of each episode, we will have a poll to talk about. Well, mainly with the episodes we do with the discussions of the upcoming series of movies coming out.
Yeah, what you're most excited for.
Yeah, what you're most excited for. So take the poll. You know, if you aren't really familiar with what's coming out, watch the trailers. Go back, look them on YouTube, watch the trailers, and take a peek and see what you're most excited for. And
Yeah, next week is going to be a special episode. We're going to actually talk about our trip.
We will talk about our trip, and we will talk about maybe some spoilers we'll see. Maybe some additions to the parks. Yeah. And it's going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you guys so much. Have a fantastic week.
Bye.